Thank you so much. That was really informative. And I just come in on the back of what you said about going out on mission is last year I went out on mission for the very first time and I experienced a growth in that that I wouldn't have got anywhere else. It was crucial for me to go and I'm looking for ways to get out on mission again. So, and we have so many opportunities. It's amazing how many. So, we're just going to move on now into a time of testimony. But what Di's going to bring, Di's going to come up and she's got some things she wants to say about her trip to Nepal. So it kind of rides in nicely on what Ian and Liz have said. So I'll just invite Di up.
That's a new one. I didn't. Thank you, Tom. That's not one I sent you. That's the flag. It's a weird flag, isn't it? I think it's the only flag in the world that's that shape. Right, now I am going to talk about Nepal because that's where we went for the big year mission trip. If you can have the first slide up there while I'm talking with some pretty faces, so you can have a look. They all look bright and bonny because that was the first day. I didn't think I'd show you some later on in the week. But every year we go, the big year, by the way, for you that don't know, it's a training school. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that in a moment. I'm on the team that lead that. And every year we take the students as part of their big year experience on a missions trip. We've been going 4 years now as the big year. The first year we went to Macedonia. The second year we went to Albania. The third year that Kerry was on and Patricia, they accompanied, Flavia as well. Yeah, it was three. It was brilliant. We all went off to Sierra Leone in West Africa. Tom, by the way, he was on the big year the first year and we went to Macedonia together. There was no one that came to Albania with me, was there? No one? Okay. Well, this year our missions trip was 2 weeks in Nepal on the foothills of the Himalayas. And there you see a picture of our group. Notice all the different people that we've got there. We've got the young and old, we've got men and women. In the front row you'll see a guy there, Darren, who's actually totally blind and he came with us. That's amazing, isn't it? The only two people that are missing from that are Steve Poole. If you were here last week, Steve was here playing the harmonica. And he's actually had a stroke and he's paralyzed in one side of his body. And he came. He was absolutely amazing. He loved every moment of it. But the thing is, he couldn't walk far. And that picture was taken after we'd done about a 20-minute walk. So there were some things that he couldn't participate in. And the other person that came was Colin Barnes, who was an invaluable person to have out in Nepal because, you know, he knows it so well. And him and I were leading the team. And I think he must have been taking this photograph. And I actually couldn't find one of a group with him in. I'm sure someone's got one, but so you'll have to realize that he was there too. Don't we look happy? Happy little bunch, very colonial with the hats on, I thought, in that one. And that was taken very near where we were staying in the capital, which is called Kathmandu. Now, what did we do? That was one of the questions Elizabeth asked. Well, these big year mission trips that we go on are really to put into practice everything that we've been teaching and trying to encourage the students in for a whole year. So they all go totally prepared. And I say it's like having their armory. You know, they go with their weapons, their weapons of preaching, their weapons of a little teach, their weapons of words of knowledge, of cards, of gifts, of what the Lord has said to them that they want to release in that country. And then our job, Colin and I, it's looking at the whole of the itinerary and seeing who's best released in what place. So we worked them very, very hard. They were ministering day in, day out, and released amazing life into that country. Just so that you know, the Christianity has been in, can I have the next slide, please? Christianity has been in the country of Nepal for 50 years, so it's a relatively young religion in that country. And you'll see a picture there of an amazing couple. Do you know them? You know these. He's called Milan, and I can never say her name. It's Shushna, okay, I always get muddled with the sh and everything, but she is an amazing woman of God, and they don't actually lead the church that we work in Kathmandu, which is called Anandit Church, but they're on the leadership team and are they're full-time in the work of God and have an amazing influence in that nation. So next to their house, they have a guest house called the Nepal Christian Guest House, where we stayed all together out there. And we worked with them in their church in Anandit. We preached, we taught, we prayed, we released life. And you'll see a picture of some of the things that happened in a moment. And they also oversee some other churches in the Kathmandu Valley area. And we did some conferences there as well. This lady, Shushna. Isn't it funny? Some words, I could just never remember it. I'll have to stand in front of the mirror and say it 100 times and I might remember. But she's got it, you know. She's only in her late 20s, but she is leading women much, much older than her at a national level. And she is going to be holding, with her colleagues on this national team, a women's conference in Western Nepal to release the life of God over the women and really help raise them up in that nation. So they're both great, but she's amazing too. Now, while we were in Kathmandu, the team went on an 11-hour trip across in a little minibus across the mountains and fording rivers, and you can imagine, to a place called Jiri, where Colin has set up a Bible training school called the River of Life Training School. And they went there, they were going to teach and preach, but it worked out that that's not exactly what happened, because over the last few years, there's been students that have graduated from that training school and have gone all over the Himalayan region to plant churches, to pray for people, and they all came back for this couple of days, and they were telling their stories of what had happened, basically. And so the students were then able to pray for them. That's what they did for a couple of days in Jiri, is just pray for people, which is a good thing to do, isn't it? And then they came back again. If you ever go to the Windsor Hall, I'm not sure how long it will stay up, but they had a huge banner. It says River of Life Training School. Then it's got River Church as well underneath it. And they gave it to us. And last week we pinned it up in the Windsor Hall. So you'll see that, this big banner, if you go over there. If I could have the next slide. I've included this one because I hope you can see what's going on there. Does it look happy? It really is amazing. Now, the last weekend we were there, by the way, they have church on a Saturday. That's the day they do church. And on the Saturday morning, we took the service. And when I go to these places, I always take the river with us. Now, usually over there, we have that bit of material, don't we? Now, in the Windsor Hall, in the big year, and in some of the other meetings, you will see that we have this huge sheet of material in a light blue, silky material, which is a metaphor for the river of God. And it's something about it that's very prophetic. And we've taken it to different countries and actually left it in the countries because it's released so much life to the people. We left one in a place called Elbasan in Albania. And last year we left two, didn't we, Flavia? Do you remember? In Sierra Leone. And I did the same at the Anandit Church on the Saturday. I got up and I just do a little talk about what the river is, and I say, we brought our river with us, da di da, you know, and they all sort of look at you as if, why have you bought this piece of material? And then, you know, we have to show them that, you know, the Lord wants us to have fun in the river, dance in the river. And on that Saturday we had Chris Waghorn from The Journey, and he was playing and he was doing, you know, stirring up deep, deep wells. Do you know that one? Stirring up deep, deep waters, we're going to dance in the river, and so on. So he was up there giving it what for, and I got the river out, and I got some children, and I got a couple of the students. I said, look, just get in there and dance, move it around, you know. So everyone's sort of looking. And then they get the idea after a while, and they all start dancing in the river. And that was an amazing time of release. You still had a few people standing at the edge thinking, what's going on here? And then the next day on the Sunday, they put on a conference where people came from all these different churches, and we got the river out again. I did my bit about what the river is and so on. And then they got the general idea the next day, and the whole church was dancing in the river. Look at them all. They were doing the conga, and even the old grannies who were standing at the edge with their little glasses and saris were dancing in the river. Everybody was dancing in the river. It was quite amazing. And there was one lady, Steve Paul prayed for her, actually. She was, it's very difficult to tell how old they are. She's probably no more than about 45, 50. But she had leprosy, and her fingers were eaten away, and her toes. And, you know, so anyway, but she really felt the life of God in her. And she was dancing, twirling round in the river and in the, you know, the river's not there. I don't know where the river had gone in that photograph. Must have been trampled underfoot, I think. But there you see Chris Waghorn up there doing his dancing in the river. And there they all are. And they had the most amazing time. And when I'd finished sort of with it, you know, because I was sort of orchestrating the thing, I thought, well, that's it. You know, we're going to have lunch now. We've done it. But the pastor there, Pastor Indra, stood up, and I didn't know what he was saying, but basically it was, don't stop. Let's carry on. Get the river out. So we had another session of dancing. And I actually, in most of these countries, they do they like things done well and formally, you know. And so I said, I'm going to present the river now to you. So I got the pastor up there, you know, and I formally said, okay, now on behalf of River Church, I'm giving you the river. And everyone claps and starts dancing again. You know, I said, I'm doing it on one condition, that you use it. And so they may have done it yesterday, I don't know. But that's our missions trip. It was really good. And if I can just show you the last slide, I put this in because it just shows you a shop with lots of idols around it. And I have never in my whole life seen so many idols just as you walk along the road. Where we were staying in the Christian guest house next to it, there's lots of little shops, like shop front shops, not what we'd call shops, with people just making idols. That's what shop after shop after shop after shop. You walk through the market, idol, idol, idol. There's just so many. And I put this up because it just shows you that the people there are still living in tremendous darkness. And one of the ways the church grows is through power encounter, because people are held in bondage through this religion of Hinduism. And they are sick, they're fearful, very fearful. And the Christians pray for them. And when they're delivered from that and brought into the light, that is so amazing. And they come to the church. And I heard many, many stories which are incredible. And I put that up because I was thinking about Slough and how we have so many people in Slough that worship idols. And it came to me again how we just need those power encounters so that people come out of darkness into light. So as a church here, that's just something which I thought, let's just bring it home. In this town, there are so, you know, to see how people are held by these idols of wood and stone. Each one has a demon attached to it, you know. And in this town, they may not be as on the streets, but they're there, and we need to, you know, wise up to this, really. So that was the mission trip. And on the last day, we were praying, and the Lord reminded me of that last verse of Amazing Grace. You know, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe this far. 'Tis grace will lead me home. We were going home the next day, and we thought, yeah, the Lord has been very gracious to us. So that's our mission trip. Now, if I was sitting down and standing up now, I'm going to say something else, which is not mission trip. But on the back of this, we went because it was the big year thing we do in the big year. We go on a mission trip. And I wanted to flag this again with you. This is the brochure. There's some brochures outside if some of you haven't had it or you don't know about it. The big year stands for breakthrough, inspiration and growth in character, understanding and spiritual authority. And it's like a training arm of River where people for a whole year can come and learn more, not just learn in your head, but be transformed, if you like, in every aspect of their lives. I'm very privileged to work on the big year and to speak on the big year and to be on the team that run it. And it's just incredible to see the way people grow. You know, God has invested amazing potential in each one of us. You hear about gold, don't you? We hear a bit more about that recently. But God has deposited gold in everyone. And what we are wanting to do in the big year, in that training school, is to find out what the deposit of gold God has put in each person and draw it out so that they reach their full potential in Christ. And it is an amazing year. And it's part-time, it's Monday morning and all day Tuesday, and there are various ways to access it. You can perhaps come on a Thursday evening, there are other courses, but I'm not going to go into all that because you can look on the website and it's in the brochure here. But it's based in Windsor, very easy to get to. It's on the edge of Windsor, so you can park. It's at the Windsor Hall, and it's for everybody. It's not just for leaders. It's not just for GAP students. As you saw in that first picture, that was a real variety of people, wasn't it? We had people that, you know, even Darren, who's blind, we have people who have just left university, just left school. Even we have retired people. The oldest is in her 70s, by the way, this year. And it is an amazing year. And just in this congregation, we've had Tom on the big year. Kerry was on the big year. Patricia was on the big year. Flavia was on the big year. And isn't it? And Paul on the big year. Sorry, Paul. So, wasn't it amazing? It was really life-changing. And if you want to speak to me about it, I mean, please do. We are interviewing and we're talking to people ready for next September. And there's something, is this on the tape? Perhaps I won't say that. No, I'll say just get a move on if you want to come. And it would be really, really good if we had representatives from this congregation. I would love that. It would be so good because it does make a difference. It's not just learning for the sake of it. You will be changed. I can guarantee that. So that's enough of that. But please come and talk to me. Get your brochures. There's even a free DVD outside you can pick up if you want to know more about it. It's for any church, by the way. So if you're from another church, we welcome people from other churches, either locally or from nationally as well. Okay, thank you for listening. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Di. And I'm just going to ask Patricia if she'd like to come up, because she has indicated to me that she's got something that she'd like to share, and it's Sharing Sunday. So,
hiya. I didn't even know it was a testimony day today. And Kerry said to me this morning, "Have you got a testimony?" I said, "No." And then I quickly changed my mind. I thought, actually, I have got a testimony. I've just been sitting there thinking, where do I start? And I just want to say, you know, I've been a Christian 30 years, and those 30 years have been extremely difficult. And when I got to retirement, but I believe that God has been chipping away at me through those 30 years. And I've always wanted to do mission. That has always been my heart, to just work, go to the nations. I know the nations are here, but I've always wanted to go to the nations. And when I got to retirement years, I said to God, I said, "Lord, I don't want my life to be that the highlight of my day is a trip to Sainsbury's. I've simply, God, you've got to use me in my retirement years. You know, I was really quite desperate about it. I prayed for it about 2 years. Lord, use me, use me, use me in my retirement years. And I felt God say to me, well, you take the first step and I'll give you the next, because I wasn't quite sure if I was supposed to retire or not. So anyway, I retired. And then I didn't know what to do. And last year I decided I would do this big year, because I thought, well, it'll kill a bit of time. That was my thought, because time hangs heavy on my hands because I've got nothing to do. And I thought, well, it'll kill a bit of time. Let's do big year. So that's what I did. I did big year, and my word, it really does change you. And all of us, all four of us from Slough, we just can't praise it enough, can we? We would encourage you up to the hilt. Please, please do it, because it's changed me. I mean, I felt myself changing throughout the year. It does challenge your thinking. You think, wow, I never thought of it that way before. And it challenges your thinking, and you find yourself expanding, and it's just the most amazing thing. And what I wanted to say is, when I said, yes, I have got a testimony, I was thinking about, I now go out on a Saturday to do these HOTS, that is healing on the street. And I just find that I am so alive. I feel alive when I'm on the street and I'm ministering. I didn't know how good ministry was, and it really did stem, actually, I think, not just the big year, but the culmination of Sierra Leone, because we were challenged there, weren't we? You know, as you said about the conditions that you work in that are totally alien. I mean, I have lived abroad. I've lived in third world countries, but I've never done this. And, it was just so fantastic. Oh, I just felt alive. And when I go on these, when I go on the streets, I just feel totally alive. I feel life surging through me, and it's just amazing. And I wouldn't have done it, I don't think, had I not been on Big Year. Big Year changed me, and I love it. Well, you can tell, can't you? But I just wanted to just quickly give you this testimony of this the Muslim chap. Kerry and I were there in April. And we started chatting to a couple of these Muslim men, didn't we? And he said to me, to both of us, he said, does it say in the Bible that Jesus says he's the Son of God? And I thought, crumbs, I don't know. So I said, that's a good question. I says, I'll find that out for you. And because he told me how they pray five times a day and stuff. So I said to him, look, we meet here every month at this time, the last Saturday of every month. I said, I will look in the Bible and get the evidence for you about Jesus saying he is the Son of God. And I said, you come and give me evidence of your prayers. Tell me what you pray five times a day. So that was the deal. And he made a note in his, whatever it was he had. And so I got, fortunately, I did prepare it all. And he came. He came with his wife. He came with his two children. And I was just so thrilled. And, I said to him, look, I've prepared all my stuff for you. This is, Jesus definitely does say that he is the Son of God. And I told him about, I know, because it really concentrates your mind, doesn't it? Because normally you just read the Bible. But when there's something to answer, it's really concentrated my mind. And I noticed that Jesus, because the scribe said to him, under oath, you've got to tell us the truth. Are you the Son of God? And he said, because he was under oath, he couldn't lie, because he'd been silent up to that point. But because he was under oath, he had to say the truth. And he says, it is as you say. And I thought, I've never noticed that before. And And all I can say is, this man, we've now, he says, I think he'll come again next time, because he's given me something to look at. So I think we've started a dialogue. I mean, his wife was quite, seemed quite anti, but this man, isn't he lovely, Kerry? He's such a beautiful man, you can't help but fall for him, can you? And I don't mean physically, but do you know what I mean? I just fell in love with this man. I thought, you are gorgeous. And I thought, you are going to be a man of God, I'm sure of it. He is so wonderful. And his children were wonderful. And his wife was a bit hard. But I found it hard to hear her because she was covered all up. And I found it hard to hear what she was saying. But no, come on, Hots as well. Oh, it'll set you on fire. I tell you what, when I get home, I have to wind down because I'm so, I want to minister, I want to minister, I want to pray, I want to preach, I want to do this and that. And that's how I feel. But that's my testimony.
Thank you, Patricia, and thanks for sharing part two, because I was with you for part one, and I never got the opportunity to hear about him coming back. So thank you for that. And I think Tom's coming towards me.
If that's all right. I just wanted to say that, you know, this Hotsu is fantastic. It's a great opportunity to get out there and actually put into practice all the things that we learn in here. But actually, there is a training session coming up with the guy that developed the whole system over in Ireland, and that's on the 8th and 9th of July. Now, on the 8th of July, Annette's having an operation, so I won't be there. But it's open to whoever wants to go to it, and so I just want to draw you, I think it's mentioned on the date sheet, so just encourage folk, if you'd like to come along and sample that, because it really is good. The other thing I thought, you know, was talking about Nepal there, and somebody else, I don't know whether they've actually testified, has recently been to Nepal. Have you got anything to say, Sue, about Nepal? Do you want to talk about your trip over there, what you found? No. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Annette and I have been on a mission trip, but quite a different sort of mission. Our mission was to have a holiday, and so we went to Tenerife. So I just want to say thanks to God, you know, for enabling us to do that. And we had a really great time. Very relaxing, read a lot of books and spent a lot of time with each other, which is not always something that we do we? So I'm stuck in the office, and we had a great time. We didn't miss out on church, though. We went to the church at Il Silencio, where John and Mandy introduced us a couple of years ago, and so it was good to be there. And actually, the first week that we was there, the guy was talking, the leader was talking about the glorious church, and he had some good points, and it was great. But I could see actually that really what it came down to was he was encouraging his people to actually get involved and an offer to pray for people, you know, whether it was to pray in their head for them without them knowing, or actually better to go up and ask, can I pray for you? Is there anything you would like prayer for? So we got to the end of the meeting, and I've got to say, you know, I may be in leadership and all the rest of it, but I still find it quite difficult to do that. But as I looked around, I saw one guy there, and I thought, you know, that I'd go up and ask him. I went and asked him. He said, well, thank you. Yes, he said, I need a job. So I was able to pray with somebody that morning, and it was a real privilege to be able to do that, but also actually to comment on the guy that got prayed for in Hots, you know, before Christmas, a Muslim guy that needed a job, and he got a job, and, you know, since given his heart to Jesus. So that sort of ties the two things together. But I just want to encourage each one here, you know, that when you get the opportunity to pray for each other, then do it, because you don't know what sort of blessing you're going to bring. One of the other things that they did in the meeting, every week they have a testimony of their person's salvation. And it was absolutely great. The lady that shared on the first week, it's her testimony, I can't tell it, but it was really dramatic, involved losing her one of her daughters when she was 12 years old, and how she'd gone on from there, and then to the point that her daughter had lost one of her sons in a swimming accident. And you could see, you know, tragedy and tragedy just building up in this lady, who, although used to go to a Catholic church, she stopped going, and but she had the opportunity, or she was invited. In fact, she was told, "No, you're coming to Silencio," and she went with her daughter, I think it was. And she said, as she sat there, she just started to cry. And cry, and cry, and cry. And she said, and these people gave me the space to do that. And she said, you know, the Holy Spirit came to her at that time and turned her life around. She gave her heart to Jesus. And now she's working, not paid, but I mean, she's just spending her days doing good and helping others. And it was amazing, powerful testimony. We was all in tears. Well, you can hear I'm in tears now just thinking about it. But a couple of days later, and I don't know where this is going really, but we was out by the pool, and Linda or Lucy came up trying to sell her sun care products. John knows her. So you'll be able to follow up on this, John. So she did get a sale out of us, and as we was talking, you know, she said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'm involved in leading a church." And so we started talking. I said, "But you know, there's churches like ours all over the place, and there's one Il Silencio." I said, "We was there Sunday. I heard amazing testimony." "Oh," she said, "what was that?" So I said, "Well, I'm very happy to tell you." I thought I'd just push this a little bit. I said, "I'm very happy to tell you if you really want to know. Because, you know, if you're just being polite, then that's fine." "No," she said, I really want to know." So I told her this lady's testimony. And she was almost in tears, standing beside the pool. And she said, "That's fantastic." You know, so I don't know. I haven't, you know, I can't say that I led her to Jesus or anything like that. But I believe that I moved her, you know, one point along the scale towards knowing Jesus. So again, it's just an encouragement to each one of us. Testimonies are powerful things, and it's good to share, you know, what God has done for us. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Kerry.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. I know both Flavia and Florrie have also got a testimony to bring, so whichever one wants to come up first. Thanks, Flavia.
Yeah, same as Patricia. When Kerry asked me at the beginning, I was like, "No, I don't really want to share anything." But then during worship, when we were singing that song, My Pain Was Healed, I just was reminded of something. If you guys remember, the Sunday before last, I stood here and I said, "My back is much better." And because I can stand and worship, and it's just so much better when you're standing and worshiping, because when you're sitting, it's not the same. And the same evening, that Sunday, my mom and I, we were just sort of taking a walk, and these three girls called me from behind, and they said, "Do you have a cigarette?" And I just said, "I don't." And then she just sort of commented on my clothes. I was wearing these casual trousers and a t-shirt, and she was like, "Are you in your pajamas? Maybe you shouldn't be in your pajamas." And she was really nasty to me. And then I just ignored her, and we sort of, you know, started walking again. And she made fun of the way I was walking because I was limping. And she went like this, this, this to me. So we just turned around and we went away. And then I was really, really hurt because obviously, you know, when someone's nasty to you, you kind of get embarrassed. I was really embarrassed at the way I was walking. And then I thought over it, and I was reminded of the fact that the same morning I had testified that my back was getting better, and then Satan attacks me. So I forgave that girl. And I said, you know, Satan has used her. It wasn't her. And I forgave her. And I just thought, you know, when you testify about God's goodness, Satan will come and attack you. And he will try, because he robs and he steals, he was trying to steal my healing away. But thank God, praise God, I didn't fall for his trap. And, you know, I'm just getting better each day. So.
I just wanted to thank God for my new job. It's 15 days ago, me and Carrie, she prayed over me, and at the end I said, I receive it. And I went for interview on 25th and I got the job with better salary. I just want to thank and praise Him.
I see time's ticking away, but if anybody's got a quick testimony or anything that they'd like to share before we close, I just want to give you the opportunity to come up now. Has anybody got anything? Elizabeth?
I too, actually, at the beginning of the service, I'd forgotten entirely that it was testimony day, and I thought, oh, have I got a testimony? And then the Lord reminded me that a fortnight ago, yesterday, I went up to London to a celebration, and it was a celebration of 100 years of the church work that my grandfather founded originally. It was founded in this country as a training for missionaries going out to Africa. And for those who feel, you know, perhaps they can't make much impact, he went out in the days when there were no cars, and they went out, he and my grandmother. They had already got two children. One was my father, and they had four other children out there. And he used to go off for 6 weeks at a time into the bush, and my grandmother had no means of knowing if he was all right or not. But, you know, he was out there for about 12 years. Then he came back to this country and he visited again. But on a fortnight ago, on that Saturday, there were people there at that celebration, and they were telling of the thousands of churches that have grown out of what was my grandfather's ministry. And we actually had one of the people who'd been trained. They have 11 Bible schools out there. And it's in Mozambique, Tanzania, and lots of Congo and Malawi. One of the trainees is now in this country, pastoring a church in Wolverhampton. And he actually came to give a testimony of, you know, what God has done. And I just thought, you know, for me, it was a really humbling experience to be there, and the dear man, my sister came up as well, and the dear man wanted to have a photograph with the two of us to send back to his parents, just because we were the granddaughters of the founder. And, you know, I mean, it was just amazing to hear what God had done through one man who'd been willing to give up all. And in those days, he didn't have a missionary society to support him. He went out in faith. And in fact, I grew up in a household where my father never took a salary. He also was, and we just lived by faith. And, you know, I was just thinking, what a privilege I had, you know, to be brought up in that environment. And I could keep you here all day telling you how God provides. But, you know, so be encouraged. Sometimes you may not think you can contribute much, but, you know, God has a plan for each of our lives. I remember there was a time when I used to think, oh, I'm a second-class Christian, you know. All my family, most of them were in full-time ministry. My sister was married to a pastor, etc. And I used to think, oh, I'm not, you know, I'm a bit second class, really. And then God told me that the job he'd given me, I'm retired now, obviously, but the job he'd given me was part of serving in his kingdom, because I was able to contribute, in a financial way, in other ways, you know. And we're not all called to go to far countries, but we have all got a part to play in mission.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I think Mary just wants to come up.
Yes, I want to second what Elizabeth said. First of all, sometimes the foreign land that you're sent to is more familiar than not. And I've always felt that I have had a missionary role in this country. Sometimes when you're called to do missionary work, it gets real difficult back home. But God knows all that. We were singing a while ago that God is good always. And that's not just a time frame. That's in all ways. God is good in all ways. God will take care of the things that you have to leave behind if you're going to go step out and work for Him. So don't ever be afraid to do that. Whatever God has called you to do, go do it. He'll take care of what's left behind. And they'll not be left behind because they're in your heart and they're in the Lord's heart as well.